1. The name is called the Acts of the Apostles. Does anybody know what the word apostle means? It's a person sent by God on a mission. And you know, a lot of people think today that there are no apostles. They think there was only 12 of them and that was the end of it. Not true. They don't believe in apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. They don't believe in any of that really. Because those are people that God sent with a mission, all of those different places, all those different positions, like they think they're positions. I really believe if Christ is in you, how is he limited? The book says that the Spirit's poured out without measure upon his sons. So if the Spirit of God is in you and God has put a spirit in you to minister, I believe you can minister in the realm of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher as he desires you to do it. Whenever he desires you to do it. You can work in any function he wants you to. Okay? I don't think they're just positions. I'm going to start with the first verse. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, which knows the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may be part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We know that the understanding of this book is in symbolism. Do you understand that? A lot of this is symbolism. He doesn't speak literally. He speaks in parables, so it's parabolic language. In this first verse, he goes on and says, the former treatise, or literally the first teaching, have I made, or that I have authored, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Literally, let me read this out of the New American Standard. The first verse says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do. He said, this is the first thing I've wrote about it. He's telling you right there, this is the first. Doesn't say it's the last, it's just the first one he did. Until the day which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now notice it says, until the day which he's taken up, that he, through the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit through him, gave commandments to who? To the ones, how would they become apostles? What's it say, the last part of that verse? Whom he had chosen. Is this about some organization ordaining you? It's about God choosing to do what he wants, and God doesn't ask anybody's permission to do anything he does. So it's about God making the choice. And everything in this life, again, is God's choice. His purpose, his plans will prevail, according to the book. Okay, verse 3 goes on to say, to whom also he presented, not shewed, but presented himself alive after his what? Passion, or literally the word is suffering, speaking of the cross, by many infallible or convincing facts, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. The word kingdom here is basileia. In the Strong's, it's number 932 in the Greek. And it literally speaks of the rule or the realm of God. See, Jesus didn't come and say, hey, look, God's building this great big city and this is what it's all about. When he talked about the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem, it wasn't a literal thing. You hear what I'm saying? It's spiritual. He was talking about the rule or the realm of God. Where does God dwell? Within you. So where's the rule of God? Where's the kingdom of God? It's all within. See, it's not an external thing we're talking about. We've got to get our eyes off of all these signs and wonders and miracles. Because if you go to Matthew 24:24, it said, if possible, even the very elect would be deceived by signs, wonders, and miracles. Revelation 13 says the same thing. They'll be deceived by signs and wonders and miracles. And that's all the church is looking for today. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing signs, wonders, and miracles that they don't see. Because I'm not looking for somebody to grow an arm so they can pick up a gun and shoot somebody. I'm watching somebody's mind be changed. I'm seeing their heart changed to where they will change people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus came and walked his life, and how many people did he affect? And he said, the works that I do, you're going to do greater works than I did. Because we got more to do. He said, I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I just come to get the first fruit. I just come to prime the pump. Now you're going to keep the pump going. That's what he's trying to tell us. So we have to get our lives in order before we can get anybody else's straightened up. And that's the problem today, because most of the preachers need their lives straightened up. And they're up here pointing a finger at you. You're bad. You're all going to hell. You know why they say that? Because they're living in hell. They know all about it. Right between their ears. But he's speaking of the realm of God, the rule of realm inside of us. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. He said, you've heard me tell you, you got a promise, okay? You got a promise, and you go to Jerusalem, and you wait. You know what that's telling me? Jerusalem represents the religious center of the world. And he said, don't jump out of religion until it's time. I preached a message years ago about don't throw mama from the train. Don't go back and destroy your foundation. You were in church. So you were in a Passover experience in the church. Don't destroy that church when you go to Pentecost, but that's what they want to do. They all want to say, they're stupid and we know everything. Well, when you come out of Pentecost and come to Tabernacles, you don't go back and kill the Pentecostal church either. Leave them alone. You stay there until God brings you. In Hebrews it says, we'll go beyond these elementary principles if God permits. So who's in control of this thing? God is. It's not up to us. Let God do what he wants and do what he says. Because he said, I don't want your sacrifice, but I'd rather have your obedience. Correct? Verse 5, because John truly baptized inwardly, or with water rather, but you shall be baptized inwardly with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The word with there definitely says inwardly with, if you look in the scriptures, in the writings, in the language. It says inwardly. So he told you this is no longer an external thing. John did an external thing. He baptized you with water. You got water on your head and all over your body. But I'm going to baptize you or immerse you into something internally that's going to change your whole life. If putting water on your head would change you, then every time it rained, the world would be saved, wouldn't it? Come on, now, every time you took a shower, you changed. God's smarter than that. He said, it's over with. John done the external. That's over with. Today we have a new covenant. This is an internal covenant. This is what God is trying for us to see, desiring us to see. He said, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will at this time will you restore the kingdom of Israel? Not restore the kingdom to Israel, but restore the kingdom of Israel. See, they were still wanting to live in the past. Isn't that what the church world's doing today? They want to go back and live the way it was. I'm going to tell you what, I don't have anything in my past I want to go back to. I think something ahead of me is greater than anything I've went through so far. If there's nothing greater than what I've went through, then I've wasted my life. There's something greater before us than what was behind us. Do you hear me? There's a greater hope ahead of us than looking back. And as long as we look back, what's the old saying? There's no future in the past? There's not. Look forward. Don't look back. What happened to Lot's wife for looking back? She didn't get the exact results she wanted, did she? Quit looking back. No, there's something on ahead of us. The Spirit in Revelation is always saying, come on up. See, don't look down. Come on up. Come on up here. Keep on coming. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has set in his own power. Whose choice is it? It's Father's choice. Can you find any place in here where God says, hey, would you people here on earth tell me what I should be doing? Did your phone ever ring and it would be God saying, hey, people, what do you think I should do? I don't think I'm going to hold my breath and wait on a call like that. And if you can get it in your mind to realize that you are not in control of anything, all you can do is obey. Servants don't make decisions. Servants say yes and amen to the Father. Old Testament, they could say yea or nay. New Testament, New Covenant, it's yea and yes and amen. That's the same thing. Only one answer, two words, one answer. Yes, whatever you want, Father, that's what you get. Verse 8, he goes on and says, but nevertheless, you will receive power. Okay? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What's he saying? He's saying, how many places did he talk about there? Jerusalem 1, Judea 2, Samaria 3, and the uttermost parts of the earth, 4. The number 4 in Scripture speaks of what? Completeness. The four corners of the earth, the four winds of the earth. And let me show you something where he spoke this in Luke 24:45. Let me just back up a little bit. Luke 24:25. And then he said to them, O fools... Is that what I said? Yeah. Okay. I was looking at the wrong one. I was looking at 25. Then opened he their minds, their understanding or their minds, that word might shouldn't even be there. I missed one. I should have crossed out. Hang on just a second. Let me do it before I forget it again. The word might isn't in the language. It's an added word. It speaks of doubt. Okay. I read again. Verse 45, Luke 24:45. Then opened he their minds that they understand the scriptures. Who opened the mind? Do you think you can do it on your own? He opened the mind so they could understand the scriptures. And said to them, in this way it is written and was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. What day? The third day. If he rose out of death, then it's telling me in Passover and Pentecost, guess what that still is? First and second days, death. Third day, resurrection, life. Do you think in our first two experiences of Passover and Pentecost that we're in life yet? No. It's just like a baby being conceived. In the first and second trimesters of the birth of the growth of the baby, the pregnancy, there's no real life. It's really life comes in that third trimester when it comes out into the world. I know there's life at conception, but I'm not pointing that way. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his nature, not his name, but his name, nature, and character, among the nations, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay? And you are witnesses of these things. He spoke them right there, and here he's coming back and saying again, I've already given you this stuff, I'm reminding you. Correct? He needs to remind you. Paul said, it's not grievous for me to say these things to you again. And Jesus said in John 14:26, when I'm going to go away and send you another comforter, and he shall call all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. He'll call to your remembrance. Why did he say remembrance? Because he gave it to you before the foundation of the world. He wrote it in your heart. He put it in there before the foundation of the world. Okay? But we'll be complete witnesses. We'll completely witness the truth of what he has to say. And verse 9 goes on and says this, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Again, how did he go up? He was taken up, but how did he go up? He went up in the human flesh. He didn't go up in a cloud. It says he went up and a cloud received him or blocked their view of seeing him. But most people tell you he went up in a cloud. He went up in a body of flesh, just like it's in John 20, verse 24 through 29, when Doubting Thomas said, stick your hand, you know, Jesus said, stick your hand in my hole in my side, put your finger in my nail prints in my hand so you'll know that this is the same one that they hung on the cross. He couldn't believe it. Do you know why he couldn't believe it? Not because he had a carnal mind, but for what he had saw. The scriptures in Isaiah said he was beaten beyond recognition. Couldn't even tell he was a human being, he was beat so bad. They stripped so much flesh off of him. What? How would you think in 3 days somebody come back like that? Be hard to believe, wouldn't it? See, so don't get on down to Thomas about what he had a hard time believing it. Because if we'd have seen what went down, we'd have been in the same place he was. They still don't believe it. Even today. They say he's coming back, but he's already here. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven or the sky, As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Two being a witness, white being the righteousness of God on them. Two witnesses that God has here. Which said, you men of Galilee, or of the heathen circle, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into the sky shall so, or in like manner, come as you have seen him go into the sky. What do you think he's talking about? He went up in a body of flesh, and he's going to come back in a body of flesh in like manner. And a few days later, we have this thing called, what? Pentecost coming up, right? Next chapter, we'll be dealing with Pentecost. That's when he returned. That's what he was talking about, that he came back in a body of flesh. Now, we're not talking about a single body of flesh as we want to see him in the man Jesus, but in the corporate body of Christ. He came back in all humanity. Can you understand that? So it's not coming back on a cloud, riding in here and floating down on a big cloud. He's already here. He's among us right now. Then returned they to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now in our minds we say, well, he's got a whole day's journey. That's miles and miles and miles. But a Sabbath day's journey changes the day. Because on the Sabbath he was only allowed to travel about 1,000 to 1,200 feet, or yards rather, 1,000 to 1,200 yards. So 1,200 yards, we got what, 12 football fields, right? 100 yards in a football field. So we got the length of 12 football fields. That's not very far, is it? And now look, this is what you had to do on a Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day went from sunrise till sunset, correct? In that period of time, you can only travel 1,200 yards. That's 600 out and 600 back to where you was at, if that's what you're going to do. Or you might have to stay at the temple all night, at the outside of the temple. Yeah, imagine that. It's the six. Man's limitation. God didn't put that law on us. Moses did. The law of Moses, the religious folk back then put that on us. God gave us 10 commandments and they added 682 more. You know what? God didn't tell us to do that. God didn't tell them to do that. That was their own creation out of their mind. They was trying to do just what religion is today, trying to control and manipulate the mass of people. And there's only one head to anything. Have you ever seen anything with two heads living? It'd be a circus, all right. It'd be a fair. Two heads don't survive. Double-minded man's what? Unstable. So two heads means two thought processes. That's not cool. Okay, where am I at? In 13. And when they were come in the inn and went up into the upper room, and this word room here is just not like the upstairs room. It says an apartment in the third story. And that's what the language actually says. Apartment in the third story. What's he talking to? They're finally coming into tabernacles. They're coming into this third day understanding. Now is the beginning of it. When the Spirit came back on men at Pentecost, it's a change. Because now God is starting to talk to people in a different way. It's a beginning of the new covenant. See, the death and burial of Jesus was one thing, but everybody on this world has died and been buried. Tell me one more that has been resurrected and stayed resurrected. There isn't any, is there? So without this resurrection in this third day, we got nothing. That's why the new covenant wasn't instituted until he died, buried, and was resurrected. Now the covenant comes into effect in this book of Acts, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. Now we're missing one here. We're missing Judas Iscariot, Judas of Iscariot. Why? He's dead. And we're going to get into that. Just like people do everywhere else, they panic. And again, my favorite verse, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, right? These people were anxious because they didn't have their 12th man that they were used to. They wanted that seat filled. Okay, they got anxious. And said, these all continued, or literally, let me say it again, they all persevered with what? One accord. And this word, one accord, literally means to rush along in unison. They were all going together in one course. They were going the same direction. In prayer, or literally worship and supplication with the women and Mary, and again, Jesus' mother's name was not Mary, it was Miriam, okay? Maria in the Greek, or Miriam out of the Hebrew, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So they were all doing the same thing. What's it trying to tell you? Is it trying to say they were all just agreeing in something? You think that's really what he's talking about? It's saying all of humanity has the same course to travel. We're all going to do the same thing. If we had been in the upper room, we'd be doing what they was doing. Whether God directed us to or not, we have that natural instinct in us to do certain things, don't we? It's the nature of the beast. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, right? That word disciples is wrong. He said he stood up in the midst of the brothers. He wasn't talking about just a group of disciples. He said, I stood up in the brothers. Okay? Amongst the brothers. Or the brethren. That's male and female both. And said, and the number of the names were about 120. Now you hear that number, 120, but there's a word about there. Was it literally 120? Could have been a few more, been a few less. Just for number's sake, they use 120. Men and brethren, this scripture, what? It was necessary to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spoke through, not by, but through the mouth of David, spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now that was in Psalm 41, verse 9. I'll go back and read it to you. Psalm 41, verse 9 says, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. He was talking of Judas betraying him. He lifted up his heel against me. Because, verse 17, he was numbered with us and had received part of the ministry. Now, there was 11 disciples there. Does anyone know what the number 11 represents? Confusion. Remember the Tower of Babel? Genesis 11, all the confusion there. Babel means religious confusion. There was 11 apostles. And they were in confusion because they didn't have their 12th. They weren't secure in who they were. They were secure in the discipline of the law. They wanted that 12th man there. Okay? Now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity in Matthew 27:5. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now if you picture this man hanging from a tree, it's hard to imagine how he fell headlong and all of his bowels gushed out. Would that make sense to you? It'd be hard to picture that. You see someone being hung, and why would their guts all be squished out? Let me draw you another picture. The man is hanging on a cliff. There's a tree limb. And there wasn't a lot of trees around Jerusalem anyway, big trees. It's on a rocky cliff. And the man just ties a rope to it and jumps off the cliff. What'd he do? He hung himself. Guess what happened to the tree limb? It broke. He falls over the cliff. He hits the bottom. Guess what happened? All of his intestines gush out because he fell down that cliff from hanging himself. There's the picture he's trying to say. So if you look at other places, it says he hung himself. Here it says he fell headlong and burst himself asunder or open, and his intestines came out. Okay? Makes more sense that way. You can understand it. Translations sometimes make it difficult. Verse 19, and it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem. The word known here in the Greek language says well known. Not just known, it was well known. To all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as that the field is called in their not proper tongue, but their own dialect, Aceldama. That is to say, the field of blood. Because it is written in the book of Psalms, and that's in Psalm 69:25, and also in Psalm 109:8, if you want to look at it. It says, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, or his bishop office, let another take. So he said, let another man take. Did God tell anywhere for them to pick another man? He didn't tell them to. So what's religion do? They fall back on the law. They fall back on the past. They keep wanting to go back to the past to restore what they had before rather than going to the future that God has for us. There's something better beyond what the church is offering us. There's a lot more. Okay? So they went ahead and filled this slot. And you'll know, we'll get down to the bottom, his name was Matthias. But did you ever hear about Matthias being an apostle again? Because Paul comes along in the book of Acts in a few chapters later, and he was the apostle chosen out of season. He was the one God had set to fill the slot, and they tried to fill it for him. And God doesn't take kindly to us messing with his things. Kind of like making their own Ishmael. Just about the same thing. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied us with all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained. And the word ordained here is literally the word become. It's the word Greek word genomei. So it must become a witness with us of this resurrection. He must become a witness, not be ordained. That's religion they put in there. And they appointed, or literally a prepared, they didn't appoint to, they prepared, the language says, two. One called Joseph, who was surnamed Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Now, Justus is the name we want to talk about. Justus is the one that means son of return or the son of rest. And Matthias speaks of the just one, just or righteous. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, which knows the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you select. Did he tell them to ask those things? I think that was somebody else's idea. They were trying to fill a slot. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Do you think they needed to tell God about Judas? I know they were playing church. That's my point. See, they're trying to explain to God why they need this taken care of. You think God didn't know why what needed taken care of? If he had needed taken care of, don't you think? If they just waited on him. The book says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Notice the progression. Slowing down. Flying, running, walking. And if we slow down, we're going to hook up with God. As long as we're running around in our thought process trying to help God, all we're going to do is make messes. Slow down. Just like the world says, their worldly saying, it's a pretty good saying, slow down, smell the roses. Really, we need to slow down. We get too fast paced. And I know life is pushing us every day, faster, faster, faster. Everybody's trying to hurry up. And when you walk differently from them, you're going to create havoc in this world. If you're driving 50 miles an hour on a freeway when everybody's driving 80, it causes problems. But you know what? In the spirit, that's the way we got to do it anyway. Regardless, we got to slow down. And said that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. In other words, they rolled the dice. And the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He was numbered. Why? Because they were trying to fill a slot that God didn't tell them to do. And that's why you never hear about him anymore. God had one chosen, just like he had Jesus chosen. And just like every other man or woman of God that he's chosen to set in a position to reveal things, it was his choice. It wasn't by going to a seminary, or what I call cemetery, to learn how to give people death. Because if you're given carnality, to be carnally minded is what? Death. I don't need to go learn from a dead man how to give dead things to another dead man. Make no sense, does it? But I need to go to life. Like better, they had to first ascend. He saw the angels, the messengers ascending before they descend. If you don't go into the heavenly realms, I'm not talking about going into the sky. I'm talking about ascending into the mind of Christ, into the higher realms, to get the truth and the light, bring it back in life, to bring back creation. Because we've already got carnal minds, every one of us. See, we have to have those things replaced by the mind of Christ. And if someone doesn't go into the heavenlies, they have nothing to give to you. It has to come out of the heavenlies. And you can't get ordained by man, organizations, or anything else, only God. Period. And next week, God permitting, we're going to hit chapter 2. I remembered when I was in the Methodist church, there was an old man that was teaching on that, and all the people that was in the class, it was an adult Bible class in this church we were in. I won't even say the name of it. But anyway, this old gentleman had been there for 30 years or something like that, close to 30 years teaching, and he was the guru of the church. And everybody, he said, wherever you want to go next, I'll teach whatever book you want. And everybody said, Book of Acts, Book of Acts. And he's like, oh! He like to choked up. He taught the first chapter of Acts for about a month. He was afraid to get anywhere near chapter 2 because he didn't believe in the Holy Spirit about speaking in tongues or anything. Didn't know anything about it. He had no experience. And I think he zipped over chapter 2 in about 30 minutes. He was like, jumped right over that and went right on to something else. He didn't know how to deal with it, see? But there was wisdom in that. There was wisdom in that. He didn't know what to say, so he didn't deal with it. If I don't know what to say, what should I do? Say nothing. When I was a child, they said, it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Because you'll say things you can't back up. If you can't back them up, you're in bad shape. You lose all credibility when you try to impress somebody with what you know. You got to say what you know, and when you don't know, just say, I don't know. That's your precise thing to do, not mine. If I can't talk to you about what I know, then I'm not going to talk about it. I'll find something else to talk about. I won't lie to you. Any questions, comments, or rocks to throw? We receive everything.